AM 700, KBYR, Anchorage. It's time for Conversations Unlimited with your host, Dave Stroh.
Good morning and welcome. Let me introduce to you my co-host for this next hour, Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage in Scottsdale, Arizona. He believes that the body has a tremendous power to heal itself and that it just needs no interference for better health. He joins us now at our studios at Knife & Gamble. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, David.
Hey, we are going to talk about a body part that is near and dear to your heart. Not that one. This one's up
higher. Above my heart?
It's much higher. Above your heart, above your neck. I want to talk to you about the atlas.
The atlas.
Right there on your forehead.
Yes, on my head, yes.
Dr. Kersey, when did the first cervical vertebrae of our spine first get its name, the atlas?
I don't know.
I thought you'd know. Let me get somebody in here who does.
The atlas, it holds up our world, our brain. It holds up our nervous system. So how did it become the atlas? I don't know how it became the atlas. I know that the axis is what the atlas rotates upon, like an axle, your wheel rotates upon the axle of your car. So the atlas rotates upon the
axle. They go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand, C1, C2. When it was first named, I don't know. Do you want to tell me?
I don't know.
Really?
Not yet.
How do we find out that information?
I'll do what I normally do. I'll hit the books here.
I could go back to Gray's Anatomy. I go back to all these books, but I'm sure that's what it was. And it wasn't a chiropractor thing. We didn't name it. It's been that way for eons.
For you, what does the atlas represent? I mean, you have embodied this ring of bone, if you will.
Yeah. So when we were in chiropractic school, and when you go through school, you know, the first year is a lot of sciences. So the medical doctor, the chiropractor, we're all doing the same thing. We're all doing the gross anatomy. We're taking apart bodies. Mm-hmm. We're going through the nervous system. We're doing dissection, and the professors are pulling out a little tiny nerve and saying, what is it? What does it innervate? Where does it originate? And you have to know all the nerves of the body. You have to know everything. And then when you're done most of the sciences, they have those sciences. You okay with it?
Yep.
When we have all those sciences done, I mean, you still have that for the 4 years you're there. But we start to do more palpation after third trimester, and we do trimesters at Palmer in Iowa. So it's four months, three trimesters a year, and then you start palpating, and then you start learning how to feel motion of the spine and the joints, and then when we have our first adjusting class in our second year of college, that's the atlas. It's called a toggle recoil, and when it's just adjustment only of the atlas, sometimes axis, and it's just that. And I did some advanced upper cervical work, mm-hmm. and I thought that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a toggle recoil practitioner only, and I'm going to adjust just the atlas, because it is, to me, the most important bone in the body, because everything comes from there. If the atlas is misaligned, everything else goes haywire. If the atlas is correct, usually everything else will fall in line. So if you go to if you go to Dr. Paramore and Young's place,
yes.
My old place, they took over my old place, and you go over there and they are adjusting your atlas with an instrument called Atlas Orthogonal. A lot of great research in there, a lot of great stuff in there. And you come in with low back pain, sciatica, we're going to adjust your atlas. Well, wait, how's that help my low back? It just does. And the education of that has to be huge, because you have to have the person understand that it's not about bone out of place down mm-hmm. low. It's about atlas. It's about the nervous system. It's about correcting that upper cervical area to allow that nerve flow from above down inside out. And when that subluxation is gone, then everything else should work correctly. So that's a big thing. But then I got into full spine adjusting, but I always end with the atlas. And the atlas is what we set before you leave, because that's still the most important. And if I adjust your atlas, I'm not going to adjust anything else after that, because
right.
that is where we end. I still do some toggle recoil. I do a full spine adjustment, but I still do some toggle recoil on several patients that prefer that method. And I like to be a master of one, not just doing all kinds of things, but I'm pretty darn good at that toggle recoil, so we still do that. And it's very powerful, and I just think that is the bone that sets itself apart from everything else.
Foundationally, what is the function of the atlas vertebrae?
That's, well, it is when you turn your head from left to right.
I'm doing it right now.
Me too. Right? Yeah. 50% of that motion from left to right occurs upon C1 and C2, the atlas and the axis. So we have a lot of rotational component in that. There's no disc between number one and number two by design. We have 24 movable vertebrae. Some people have 23. Some people have 26. Depends on spinal anomalies. But for the most part, we have 24 movable bones and those 23 discs. And that atlas axis junction there. There's no disc in between it. There's ALR, apical ligaments, there's all kinds of stuff holding it together, but there's no disc. So the function of that is a protection of that nervous system. And you know, when we were talking about Superman a few years ago when he broke his
arm.
Yeah, I mean that surrounds the brainstem. So that is the only bone that's actually truly let's make up a new word today, subluxatable.
Okay.
Subluxatable. It's the only bone that can actually have a true subluxation because you have occlusion of a foramen, which is the foramen magnum. That's the big occlusion where that brain comes out and forms into the spinal cord, and it can go forward, backward, side to side. It can tilt up and down. So there's a lot of misalignment that can occur at the atlas.
For years, decades, I felt horrible. Why does the atlas vertebrae have such a profound effect on how we feel when it is and becomes misaligned?
Because there's such a strong relationship with the brain spinal cord right there at the junction. And yeah, when you're feeling yucky, right? When you get that atlas set, that's all you really need. Like yesterday, Dr. Foley was leaving. He had his coat on, and he was on the way out the door, and I was in between patients, and I ran back, followed him, sat in a chair, and he knew exactly. I just needed to set my atlas, man, because when I'm just sometimes I have some larger patients that are a little harder to adjust, and it's almost like a whiplash when you're trying to move that bone down low. And I just was a little off yesterday, so he just adjusted my cervical spine, and then he was on his way, and then I went back to adjusting patients. And because when that sets you off, man, your mood gets yucky. We have a patient right now that's here specifically for fog. Fog, because he's just foggy and he's being cleared of his fog. The fog is lifting after a couple of adjustments. And the other community, healthcare community, wanted to do CTs and MRIs and try to figure, he's like, I just think there's something else. So, and he's just, with a conservative approach, atlas adjustments, he's removing his fog and he is functioning at a higher level. So, and his boss said to him yesterday, he says, looks like you got a pep in your step today. He said, well, how about that? So that was after two adjustments. So the atlas can really take away the fog. We know it has direct relationship to the autonomic nervous system, the sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system, and how in Chicago 25 years ago they did a study and said it decreases blood pressure when you get your atlas adjusted. It is amazing how much an atlas subluxation can do damage to the body, and it's amazing how when you get your atlas adjusted, how clear the world is.
How would a ring of bone at the top of the spine become misaligned? Does it take a lot to move the atlas vertebrae?
You can just think too hard. And we talk about thoughts, trauma, toxins. Toxins will have a physiological effect on that. Anything, you can have a little slip, you can have a little fall, you can have text neck, and have your head forward. And it's amazing. We talk about it. We'll talk about text neck to a person. Actually talk to them, and they'll say, well, let me show you a picture. And they put their head down, and they start looking at the phone. Well, we're just talking about this, and you have your head down. And they go, oh, sorry. Well, you're not hurting me, but you just have to think that anterior weight bearing of that head all day, putting pressure on that upper cervical spine, no good. So there's so many things that can cause an atlas subluxation. And in my opinion, it is the most easily subluxated bone as well. That's where we see a lot of misalignment.
Does a misaligned atlas come with obvious symptoms to someone?
Could be a headache. Could be that brain fog, could be a nervous tendency, could be fear, could be all kinds of things. And we could have low back pain. I just adjusted my neck, but my low back feels better. Why? Well, because the nervous system all works together. And, you know, it's funny, the insurance industries and everything, we have to separate regions when we adjust you, right?
Really?
We're doing one to two regions here. We have symptomatic complaints here, and they're solidified by their objective findings here. And then we can bill for three to four regions or one to two regions, and that's just the way you have to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's that. But the entire, it's not cervical, thoracic, lumbar. It's sacral, pelvic. I mean, that's how you have to design it, right? But wait a minute. It's all one system. It's all working together. So if I'm adjusting your atlas and it's affecting the low back, am I taking care of the entire spine? We have to code accordingly. But I mean, seriously, I mean, when you think about that, the atlas adjustment is just as powerful or more powerful than any other adjustment I'm giving. So I think that the The Atlas is so superior to any other bone.
Dr. Kersey, are people generally surprised when you can link a misaligned Atlas vertebrae to vertigo, tinnitus, hearing loss, balance problems, maybe even migraines?
Yeah, and they think, how does that affect my brain? But yeah, they don't get it. And some do, some it's right. Real hard. Well, how can my neck be affected by that? That doesn't make sense to me. How's that affecting my ears? Well, why was the first chiropractic adjustment done? To restore hearing of Harvey Lillard, who was deaf for 17 years. Now, we think that maybe it was T4, and we know there's a sympathetic chain ganglion that comes down to T4, and then there's that response back to the ears, and there's a direct relationship to that, so maybe it was T4.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was the Atlas. But back in 1895, you couldn't touch the neck, because that was voodoo if you messed with the neck, because that was off limits. But I think it was until 1961, or maybe that's when he died. I'm not sure. But for many, 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 many years of Palmer College of Chiropractic, you couldn't adjust below C2. You could adjust C1, C2, and that was it. There was no full spine adjusting at Palmer College. You could only adjust the Atlas.
When did they go final?
Oh, B.J. Palmer gave that green light lecture and said, go ahead, you can do it.
Keep going.
Go ahead, James.
How does the Atlas vertebrae function if it has no body?
Oh, how does it function? Well, there's the ligamentous attachments of it, because it's a ring, right? But look, it has those condyles where the skull sits, and then it has where C2 sits on there. So it has synovial joints around there. It has ligamentous attachments. It is a complex structure. And we know when we break that thing, we're in bad shape. That's bad news.
You're a doctor. I'm a DJ, so please excuse my ignorance. Is the Atlas vertebrae fused with anything or any part of our spine?
No, it's not fused with anything.
Okay.
No. Oh, spinal anomalies can happen.
Huh?
We've seen C1, C2 fusion. We've seen C1 occiput fusion. We see those kind of things. So can it fuse? Yes. Can there be a congenital anomaly? Yeah, there certainly can be. But there's really no fusion of that bone.
Does the Atlas vertebrae, does it act as a protector of the brainstem?
Yeah, that's where it's going to be, sitting right at that brainstem coming down in there.
You and I talked about actor Christopher Reeve and his injury.
Yeah.
Was his brain then unprotected or when he crashed?
When he crashed, and I believe he had Jefferson's burst fracture, Jefferson's burst fracture, and then probably had some cord damage, some bone maybe went into the cord. I'm really not sure exactly what he had, but that was it, man. It shuts everything off. Maybe he could have severed the cord below C1, C2, and then nothing functions underneath there. So it's tough because everything comes from that brain up top and then forms into the spinal cord, goes out to every single cell. So we talk about that life force. Nothing's going to function if there's not a proper nerve supply to it. Life needs no help, just no interference. That was some huge interference
right. From
above down, inside out. There was no down. It couldn't go because there was that lack of flow.
Have you ever seen in your decades of practice patients whose atlas has been broken?
Yes. We've caught fractures of atlas that come from the hospital and they're still not right. We do our own x-ray and we say, whoa, we're going back for a CT scan and see how. But we've seen fractures and it's not pretty. It's scary.
What can happen when somebody breaks their atlas? Is that a broken neck at that point?
Well, yeah. Any fracture of the cervical vertebrae is a broken neck, right? So we can have a clay shoveler's fracture at C7, C6, T1. We can have a spinous process fracture where a little piece of that spinous process, where that little hump that you feel on the base of your neck,
yes.
that my bone sticks out there. Well, everybody sticks out there, but if you have a reverse cervical curve, it's going to stick out further. If you have anterior weight bearing, it's going to stick out further. But that little bone can break off. It's called clay shoveler's fracture because when you're shoveling clay and that force goes from your arm and into your shoulders, and that can break off. That's still a broken neck. You can have compression fractures of the cervical vertebrae, but they're what we call stable fractures. There's really no nervous system involvement, right? But if you have a fracture of the lamina and there's pressure on that cord, or if you have a C2 dens fracture, like the little odontoid process that sits inside the axis, if that breaks, that's an unstable fracture. That can put pressure right on the cord, and you could have paralyzation immediately. When another provider says, you have degenerative disc disease and you have a bulging disc, and if you get adjusted, you could be paralyzed. BS. That is not true. And there is no research that shows when you get adjusted with osteoarthritis, degenerative disc disease, degenerative joint disease in the neck, you can be paralyzed. That's actually the opposite of the truth.
You mentioned earlier that the atlas vertebrae is responsible for giving our head its range of motion. What keeps our head on top of our body without it falling off or easily falling off or knocked off?
We have seven layers of muscles in the neck, in the posterior part of the neck. So there are seven layers of muscles. That's just from the vertebra back, right? So we have so many muscles and so many ligaments and tendons attaching things, and there's some stability there. And we know that if we keep things healthy, we keep our head back on our shoulders, it's going to be stable. Heading the soccer ball. That's a really bad idea. Football with concussions. That's a bad idea. We gotta protect our neck and our head and our skull. And all these things are very important to do. But it should stay right on top of our head, and it's designed that way. If we have the proper cervical curve, if we have a nice lordotic curve and a nice kyphosis in the thoracic spine, another lumbar curve with a nice lordosis in the lumbar curve, and we are stable that way, in front to back, we don't have scoliotic curves, and we are pretty straight. You have scoliosis, Dave?
Yes, I do.
So fixed scoliosis with metal and screws and plates and
bolts,
stuff,
no.
Bolts and your Frankenstein. So that's what we need. Well, it was Dr. Frankenstein, wasn't it? that's what we really need to have is a stability. And when we have proper motions of the joints of the spine, that leads to more stability, not less. And when people say, "Oh, what's it just? Now I'm loose. I can't get adjusted too much because I'll get loose." That's not the way it works either. If our bones of our spine are moving, our vertebral bodies are, our joints are moving in the spine, that's actually more stability, not less. When we have aberrant motion, we have one bone stuck upon the other, and those other bones above and below work harder to make up for the misaligned, subluxated, not moving vertebra. That's when we have instability.
I'm Dr. Frankenstein's monster.
Yes, yeah. Monster.
So holding the atlas vertebrae in place is tendons, muscles. Any bone in there?
The atlas is going to sit on the axis, and look at the skull. The skull sits on those condyles of the atlas as well. So there is joint complexes there. There are joints when one bone joins the other bone. They are little joints.
Is it possible to stretch the area around the atlas? I see people craning their necks constantly.
Yeah, when you see people craning their neck and pushing up on their jaw and moving things along, that is moving above and below usually the area that's stuck, and they're doing it every 25 minutes because after they get their little release of, that felt good, it's going right back to where it was because you're not fixing the problem. You're not adjusting it correctly. You're just having a gross manipulation of joints, and you're getting a little bit of endorphin release there, but that's about it. You're gonna have, and you might find yourself on the floor doing some twitching after that because you might do it wrong.
Wow.
And I would highly suggest that self-manipulation of the neck should stop.
Stop. Some chiropractic offices, as you mentioned, use a machine with pinpoint accuracy to adjust and realign the atlas vertebrae. You use manual technique.
Yes.
Why manual versus the machine?
Because I have the hands that God gave me to create bone. I have magic in my hands. You see these things.
Like coming across from Charlton Heston.
How would I stop from giving this gift to the world? I can't use a machine.
I'm surprised your hair isn't white and you're wearing the long robe. Like you come down off a mountain and you just saw something.
Look at these hands. There's all kinds of things that we could do to adjust the atlas. We could do a toggle recoil adjustment, which is just using my little piezo form here and adjusting that way. We can use the activator adjustment, which is the plunger-like tool. There was Pearson Still Wagon, and there was another goofy guy that tried to invent some other machine. And then there's the Atlas Orthogonal. Dr. Roy Sweat developed this thing called the Atlas Orthogonal. He took all kinds of technology from the past and brought it all together, and he's got great research. He shows how when he uses that adjustment to the atlas, there's cerebral spinal fluid increase in flow. There's all kinds of great stuff going on with the atlas orthogonal. It's a great technique. There's a lot of x-rays involved. There's a lot of follow-up x-rays involved. There's a lot of system involved in that adjustment. It's great. Why do I do mine? Because I like the way I do it. I'm good at what I do. They're good at what they do. And, it beats you up. I mean, people are like, you get a workout when you're adjusting all these people. Nope. It's a wear out. It's wearing on you every day. And it is a workout. I mean, it is manual labor all day long, but it is specific labor, and it is designed to help the patient and not worry about the doctor, and it's just perfectly fine. But I like using the hands.
And because you use your hands, how long did it take you to perfect that manual technique? I mean, you've been doing this for 3 decades
now. Yeah, so I don't think I'll ever perfect the adjustment because, but I do. Some days things are just going so well, you're like, whoa. I must have got better today because people are moving different. But you really have to stay in shape. You know, you have to work your hands. You have to work out. You have to do other things. You have to work on your speed. You have to practice for the sporting event that you're going into, which is adjusting patients.
Right.
And yeah, I got my little trigger finger. You see that little trigger finger? That's coming from my neck. And we've done some research on musculoskeletal ultrasound to show me where that A1 pulley is stuck. They couldn't find it. I'm like, I thought so. It's coming from my neck because it's starting on the other side too. But it is a tough on the body, but it is worth it because I know I'm moving that bone, and you know I'm moving that bone. When I adjust your neck, you know that bone moves, and we get cavitation of the joint, we get sound, we get movement, and it is specific, and is, I think my adjustment is just as specific as your orthogonal.
Yeah.
And just because it's done with my hands versus a machine, I like the power of touch. I mean, you lay the machine, click, 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 boom, you're up, you're out. Where is the human touch in that? I think that the human touch is necessary. Why do people like massage? They like massage whether you're sick or whether you're well. Mm-hmm. Massage feels great. It's not in our office because it's not chiropractic.
Right.
But it's nice, right? And it feels good. It's the human touch. And human touch is something that we need. And when we don't have that, I think we're missing a component there.
Do you believe your hands, because you perform a manual technique on the Atlas vertebrae, do you believe those hands to be sensitive?
Oh, they're super sensitive. Yeah, and my wife, kids, everyone makes fun of me because I can't touch things that are hot, and I'm like, but yeah, I think my hands are pretty sensitive, but super strong. The super strong hands, though, David. Even though Mariah, when she puts my water bottle together, I go to undo the top. I'm like, what are you, hands of steel?
How do you know when you have manually put the Atlas vertebrae back in its proper place just by the manual technique?
So when we're doing that thing called palpation and we're checking out the motion of the joint and we're seeing which way it's not working well versus, you know, we use X-ray, we use exam findings, we use our little myovision scanner to see if there's subluxation. We use all kinds of tools, and when we get that Atlas in our hands and you move that around, and then my technique, whether it's using my thumb or whether it's using a more of a side adjustment, that you feel that thing move right underneath there, and it's big.
When there is spinal cord injury involving the Atlas and the axis because of their close proximity to the brain, is that why those kind of injuries frequently result in death?
Yeah, and that's because the brain stem is right there, and that can shut off the power to the organs, and that is a nasty area, and that's why it's so important to stay well and keep your head up, keep your shoulders back and down, and have proper neck posture. When you're at the gym, don't look side to side when you're in a contracted state when you're exercising. Keep your shoulders back. Keep your head up and straight ahead. I love talking to people at the gym because I'm like, are you turning your head? Are you actually turning your head while you're talking? Keep your head straight. You have to think about that Atlas area, and I think about it all the time. I just, you know, when I go to sleep at night, I have my chiropractic pillow, and my head goes back. I sleep on my back, and it's nice and set. And I put my head back, and it's boom. I cradle that Atlas. I think it's super important.
Why does whiplash usually affect the Atlas vertebrae?
Ooh, the Atlas. We have a lot of effect at the C5, C6 level as well. That's a huge, huge area, lower cervical, C5, C6, huge area after whiplash. So we have that.
Is that below the shoulder blade?
Right above. So it's at the base of your neck. If you put your hand in your back, you feel that little bump at the top of your spine.
Yes.
One or two more up from there. Some people have a C7 vertebral prominence. Some people have a T1 vertebral prominence. Sometimes two. So that area there, because when you have a whiplash, when your head goes back and forth, it actually extends first, and then it goes back. Then it goes forth. We talked about the lipstick side. When females wearing lipstick, I guess maybe before airbags, this was bigger. Now they're face prints on the
glass.
Before airbags. But the females will actually get a lipstick stain on their chest, on the top of their, on their right above their sternum.
Ouch.
That's how, and if you try to do that, you can't. That's how much the neck extends and goes through trauma when you're doing that. My one patient friend, old radio show host here at the KBYR, he got into an accident, and he has video. He had internal video of in his car when the other person ran the red light, and it shows, he slowed it down, he shows the actual whiplash hitting the airbag, and yeah, that's going to mess up your upper cervical spine. It really does have a lot of damage to C5-6. We'll look at x-rays and say, okay, car accident 10 years ago, car accident 40 years ago. We can see how much degeneration without care has happened because of that degeneration at that lower cervical level. But yes, the atlas does become effective. We will see a decrease in immune function after car accidents, whiplashes, because of that upper cervical area with the parasympathetic and supplying the immune system to the lymph system, and we'll see that happening after a car accident.
Dr. Kruse, what happens to the nerves when our cervical bones are all in alignment?
Well, I think that would be cervical, thoracic, lumbar. When you have a subluxation due to thoughts, traumas, or toxins, we're looking at the nervous system, and people are like, well, I'm only here for pain, I'm only here for this. No, we're here for your nervous system correction. We're here for you to allow that life force to come from brain and spinal cord out to every single cell in the body. And when we have a lack of proper flow due to misalignment, the nerves are most likely fine. It's just that information flowing to and fro is not able to flow because of that misalignment. So what happens to the nervous system? The nervous system is either excited or diminished because of irritation of the nerve because of spinal misalignment.
We're going to do a little review here. How powerful is the effect on our bodies and interference?
I don't think we can ever really imagine how much interference has to do with our overall body function, whether it's your mood, whether it's your function, whether it's your pain in your leg or your arms, your tingling, your numbness, your headaches, the symptoms, and that's what the world is based on, right?
Right.
The medical world, you know, if we have symptoms, we have this drug to treat it. If you look at any function of the body, like I have to sneeze right now, but
can you have that adjusted out?
Yeah, I have that adjusted out.
Should I call Dr. Foley?
Call Dr. Foley.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
I've watched you a lot.
What? Unbelievable. Excuse me. I think that's the first time in a few years that I've ever sneezed on radio.
That's why I love live radio so much.
Live radio, sneezing. Yeah. So that function. Why did I sneeze? What was my body's reaction? Something got in my nose from this microphone spreading these little tiny black things around here. But that had an effect, and your nervous system said, "Hey, something's in my nose. Let's get rid of that." What if it didn't? What if it didn't do that? And then I didn't cough and I didn't get rid of foreign bodies. Those things are function of the nervous system.
Right.
So our body does that naturally, and if it can't do things like that, then we might have a different symptom. Oh, then we might get stuffed up. Maybe our bodies won't function correctly because there's nervous interference. So when you have misalignment and you have, if you wait till symptoms, well, I was good for 6 months, you know, I finally had pain again, so I came in. Well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just make sure your nervous system? So are you trying to, is it a game? You want to see how long you can last without pain and problems? Or why don't you work to your optimum potential and just get better and better and better and never worry about pain and dysfunction and illnesses?
One last review question. Oh. In terms of the brain-body connection and the atlas bone specifically, when the atlas is aligned, do the nerves from your body to your brain then communicate without any interference?
I'm going to say yes, and it depends if there's any other misalignments along the way, but yes, that atlas, when we have that thing set, usually that afferent motion nerve flow is coming back and now the brain gets proper information, because that's what we use that, right? The body uses that periphery and uses that proprioception, uses that to say, hey, what's going on in my environment, and let's react accordingly.
And if someone wants to have their own conversation about their atlas vertebrae and chiropractic, what's the number?
I don't know, David. What's your cell phone number? We're going to give you your number. Our number is 907-569-9355, and you can go to kurzychiropractic.com, and you can learn all kinds of stuff about that. We'll be glad to answer your questions, find you a chiropractor, do whatever.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. And our next conversation with Dr. Kersey will continue after these messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and sunny Scottsdale, Arizona.
Happy night.
On AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stroh. This is a new portion of the program that we're going to call True or False about chiropractic care. All right, true or false, Dr. Kersey. Chiropractic adjustments are painful. True or false?
False. I'm going to say false because they're not painful. I mean, if you're in pain already and you adjusted while you're in spasm or anything else, it could be uncomfortable. But the actual adjustment is not painful.
And people come out of pain after a chiropractic adjustment.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty fast, don't they?
Pretty fast, yeah, pretty fast. And if you're there for pain care and they're in a lot of pain, getting adjusted is not fun sometimes, but it's just a moment of just getting that pressure up a nerve, and it might feel like that was painful, but it's really not painful.
It really is a journey through less pain.
It's a process, yes, David, a process. It's a process, and if you stick with the process, I went to the chiropractor once, it didn't work. I had 9 out of 10, I left in 10 out of 10. Well, you didn't give it a shot, did you? You didn't really go through the process. You didn't. Your provider didn't explain to you that this may get a little bit worse before it gets a little bit better. Sometimes you're going to feel euphoria. Sometimes you feel like you're hit by a Mack truck later on. But it is. I don't want to say Mack truck. Why couldn't it be a Peterbilt? But that's just the way it goes, man. But it's a process, and it's just the way it is.
True or false, Dr. Kersey? Chiropractic neck adjustments cause stroke.
Oh,
we hear that all the time.
False. So, they tried to get us for stroke for years and years and years. There was billboards in Connecticut where they said, if you were at a stroke, to wear a chiropractic-like adjustment, blah, blah, blah. It was on and on and on, because if you have a dissection of the vertebral artery, you're going to stroke out. They did all kinds of research. You have a 1 in 4.1 million chance of getting a stroke from a chiropractic-like adjustment. And they always said chiropractic-like adjustment because it was usually the barber or somebody else that was raising on their neck and did something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They did recent research that said if you are going to have a stroke that day, if it didn't matter if you went to the medical doctor, the physical therapist, the orthopedist, the chiropractor, the massage therapist, the hairdresser, if you have a stroke that day, you have a stroke that day. Now, if you're in a compromising position and you already have occlusion of one vertebral artery and you turn your head and you rotate and you extend and you're laying down or backing up a car doing that, yeah, you're putting excess on that. But you already had a pre-existing condition that was not right, and then you had a stroke. But the other research from that journal done by medical doctors was that the people undergoing chiropractic care seem to have less chance of having a stroke. Oh, okay, good. So that's good news.
Yes, it is. True or false, once you start seeing a chiropractor, you have to keep going for the rest of
your life. False. If you choose to go to the chiropractor the rest of your life because you want to live a life without interference, that's your choice. Once you get adjusted, does not mean that you have to keep that thing adjusted. We did not put things in motion that weren't in motion from when you were born. It is designed to move. We need to keep moving. Once you go to the dentist, you need to go the rest of your life,
right?
Only if you want to keep your teeth. Once you buy a car, you have to put gas in it as long as you own it. Not unless it just wants to sit in your driveway. So if you want to continue, if you want to go through the process, if you want to have better health, live more years and have more life in those years, great. Get adjusted. Stay with the program. If not, it's your choice.
My dentist is calling me. He knows it's time to see me.
It's 6 months.
It is, and I haven't called him back. I feel bad about it.
See?
Do you call people?
Do I call people?
To get them into your office.
We used to do recalls and that kind of thing and say, hey, you missed your appointment. I think we still do a little bit of that. But you know what? If you want my help, I'm here for you. If you don't, I'm not going to bother you.
Right.
It was your decision to come to my office and not come to my office or our office or Dr. Foley. If you want our help, great. We're here for you. Am I going to pressure you into well, you have spinal degeneration. You need to be here. You have scoliosis. No. I told you what you have. You understand your condition. You're here for your reasons. I was afraid to come back because you'd yell at me because it's been a year. I don't care. I mean, I care about you, but I'm not going to bother you. It's your decision. You have life going on. We all have our things going on. If you want to take care of yourself, great. If you don't, no pressure.
What does chiropractic maintenance look like? A chiropractic maintenance schedule?
You know, we used to say once a month, get adjusted. Once a month, get adjusted. And then the research shows that 2 weeks after any injury, whether it's sitting at your desk too long, sitting on a plane, slipping or falling, car accident, within 2 weeks, that degeneration has got to start. So I thought about that long and hard when my family moved to Arizona, and I said, well, my kids can't go 2 weeks without an adjustment then. And I'm down there, this is my sixth year going back and forth every other Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to make sure that my kids get adjusted within that 2 week period. And we designed the chiropractic office down there that I opened a couple of years ago that if this is going to be a wellness practice, this is going to be something I'm going to do later in the years, and I want my patients to come in. My patients, I call them my patients, not mine. They're just patients that want chiropractic care.
Right.
If you stay well every couple of weeks, that's great. And if you're adjusted every 2 weeks, that's better than every 4 weeks. People that say, well, I only need it once a year, I think you're wrong. But if you want to get adjusted once a month, great. If you want to get adjusted every 2 weeks or checked for subluxation every 2 weeks, because sometimes, you know, you don't need to be adjusted as much. And so we'll check you. I think 2 weeks is a better idea than 4 weeks.
At the end of 2 weeks, when you hit your Scottsdale office, are people generally suffering the same symptoms after 2 weeks?
You know, we have, it's really interesting because down there we see a lot of teenagers. We see a lot of the sports people. And the biggest thing is they're not in pain. I see a lot of people down there, and the people that are on their regular schedule down there, they're not in pain. And we have people down there that are changing their workouts, changing their nutrition, changing their stuff. They're just getting better and better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And they come in, are you in pain? No. I'm just here for my, this is what we set up with, and this is what we do. And it's pretty crazy.
Because Arizona is such a hub for professional sports, you ever see professional athletes?
No, I see the professional kid athletes.
Sure.
He's the chiropractor to the Diamondbacks, or he's the chiropractor. Great. Is he a good adjuster? Did he just get it in, or does he know what he's doing? I have my certified chiropractic sports physician. I could take care of a sports guy. I could take care of those people. But that's more of an ego thing.
Sure.
Well, I'm a chiropractor for this. Great. I appreciate you for doing that. But that is that's something that you should just keep under your hat, not put posters up and I adjust to all these people. Great. What about me? What about the guy that's the guy that's doing the yard work and hurts himself? What about the guy that's playing weekend softball? You know, my patient Dave down there from Anchorage gets adjusted down there. He's a professional. He's a professional softballer in Master League, and his wife is a master frisbee golfer,
mm-hmm.
and she's actually like a professional frisbee golfer. So do I adjust people like that? Yeah. Do I put posters of them up and say, I'm a chiropractor to the frisbee golfer and proffer? No. I think that's ego-driven, and I think that means that if you happen to adjust people for those, that's some recognition. That's good, but you shouldn't make yourself out to be better than everyone else just because you're adjusting people that are of the higher stature.
You have a poster of Lionel Richie on your wall, don't you?
In my garage, right? Hello? Is it my adjustment you're looking for?
What do you get out of that poster?
My mom sent me a box one time, and she had all kinds of stuff. I got my styrofoam hat from like the 70s from the Statue of Liberty.
Sure.
It has the little things on. And it was funny. A few years ago, I don't know, maybe several years ago, my little guy, Vinny, and he wasn't that old. And I hang this poster in my garage, and he looks up and he goes, hello, and he knew who it was. I was like, how do you know who Lionel Richie is? But yeah, it was pretty cute.
One more true or false. Chiropractors only treat back pain.
Oh, false. Chiropractors don't treat anything. Chiropractors adjust the cause of problems. They don't treat anything. And if you think that chiropractic is about low back pain only, you are just misinformed about what chiropractic is, and that's the problem, and that's why we've done a radio show for the last few years and did it years ago, because we want the proper information out there.
Yes.
And if I'm giving information that other chiropractors don't agree with, well, then just let me know.
Come on the program.
Yeah, come on the program, and we'll talk to you. But how come they don't want
to
come on the program, Dave?
They're scared.
But no, we're just trying to give information, and it's not about low back pain at all.
You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage and in Scottsdale, Arizona, in a week and a half on AM 700 KBYR. Our next conversation with Dr. Kersey continues right after these commercial messages. You're listening to Conversations Unlimited with Dr. Todd Kersey of Kersey Chiropractic here in Anchorage on AM 700 KBYR. I'm Dave Stewart. Dr. Kersey, how can someone like you, a chiropractor, get better at what they do?
Purposeful practice. They say that 10,000 hours of purposeful practice leads to expert
Have you already reached that point and beyond now?
We're beyond that. I think I'm an expert adjuster. I think I am an expert chiropractor. I think that I've earned that through repetition and education and continued drive in my profession. I've done things in chiropractic I never thought I would do. I've been president of the Chiropractic Society for the last 10 years. Like Dr. Foley and I have our CCSP, which is Certified Chiropractic Sports Physician. I have degrees in chiropractic philosophy. I've worked hard in our profession because I want to be an expert in our profession.
What life experience, as it pertains to chiropractic, has most shaped you, who you are today? I mean, you've been doing this for over 30 years.
I think it's just an accumulation of all those experiences that kind of made me who I am. I think it just goes boom, 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 boom. And we've had new experiences, in recent days in the office where people have come in with different things. It's like, wow, not seen that before. And I think I've seen everything. And that's why I've seen anything, everything. We had a guy come in the other day, and so much pain. He's getting adjusted somewhere else, out of town, and wasn't doing better. And he came in, and he's like, "Oh, hold on, I don't feel good." And this is before any neck adjustment or anything like that. And he just started having a seizure. He was in so much pain, he just seized. I mean, it was just wild. I got a video of it, and then we sent him for MRI, made sure everything was good, and neck and brain, and then went forward because he actually after that he got some relief. But I mean, it was tough, and he's doing really well now. But you see these things, and people are in tough shape sometimes, and I think it's all the experiences together that have forged what is today.
In talking with you for over the last couple of years, almost on a weekly basis, what's the most sensible thing you've heard yourself say lately?
I don't know everything. I don't know everything. The older I get, the less I know. I think that we're always learning, and we always have to grow. And I think it's a growing through experiences. And I think that's just something you have to realize.
Who do you sometimes compare yourself to, if anybody?
Oh, you know, when people, I joke around, and one person got upset the other day, so they go, "Oh, God!" And when I get adjusted, somebody said that, I go, yes, my child. And they go, "You can't say that." I said, "Well, you said it. You're using that in vain." And I just was joking around. But I don't really, I try not to compare myself, you know. I mean, my mother did a good enough job comparing me to everyone. Well, Dr. Nikki is successful, and he has this. Why can't you do that? So I try not to compare myself because, you know, I don't want to feel bad about myself. I feel bad enough.
Let's talk about Jersey Hours here in Anchorage.
We're open every day 9 to 6 for phone calls, for, you know, information. But patient care is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all day, 10 to 12, 2:30 to 6, and then Tuesday, Thursday afternoons, 2:30 to 6. And don't say, "Oh, you're open at 2:30, I'll be there." It's the busiest time. People come right when we're open.
Dr. Kersey, I want to thank you for sharing this hour with us. If you would like to live a life of better health, you can call Dr. Kersey at what number, my friend?
907-569-9355.
Dr. Kersey is going to join us again next Tuesday at 8 a.m. for another Conversation Unlimited. Have a good week, my friend.
You too, David.
I'm Dave Strode. You have a good week.